Radio Commons, des séries de podcasts collaboratifs, d'échanges, de partage et de coopération pour explorer le présent européen.
You are listening to Il Limone Lunare, a podcast in two chapters that circulate around the work and the writing of the Sicilian activist and poet Danilo Dolci. The second chapter is dedicated to artists, writers and activists whose work resonates with the work of Dolci. For the occasion, we have invited the poet Verity Spot, based in Brighton, the artist Lina Issa, and the filmmakers Silvia Maglioni and Graeme Thompson, based in Palermo, and the publisher Maya Wabadi, based in Alger, to each propose half an hour of readings, interviews and sound work.
Lina Issa is now proposing a series of interviews which all focus on the distance between law and justice. The plurality of voices from different geographies tells the possibility of commitment to reduce injustice, moving from political and artistic action. Eating daily the fruits of exploitative labor of mostly undocumented migrants in Europe marks my body with injustice and leaves my tongue with a bitter taste, how much ever these fruits are sweet. Feeling the urgency of confronting this injustice and of being in a direct relationship to the people providing me my food, I started an artistic research with a group of Senegalese agriculture workers in Campobello in Sicily. I invited them to rewrite a law that was issued due to the pandemic, which could possibly provide those of them who fit the conditions with a legal work contract for 6 months, as if they were not here before and will not still be here after. How does this law taste? I asked them. I imagined us eating this law together as a form of engaging in a relationship and of unpacking this law as a form of injustice. To put it on our different tongues, chew it and spit it, inviting our bodies to transform it, to claim it and rewrite it. But more to expand it, writing through it and in spite of it, our abundant presences, stories and knowledge. The gap between law and justice is at the center of my exchange with them. And this gap is the space we occupy as citizens, whom the law claims to represent and serve. It is this gap that we need to rewrite to attain justice for them and ourselves, justice from systems that render us separate when we are inevitably connected. In the line of this work, and in the context of the work of Danilo Dolci and this podcast, I have asked Clelia Bartoli, Rodrigo Attas Perez, Tala Hassan, and Hani Sawah to reflect on this gap between law and justice through their different academic, activist, and artistic practices. Clelia Bartoli lives and works in Sicily. She teaches at the law department in Palermo and does an amazing work on the crossing between grassroots activism, community work, and art. I met her at the birthday party of a common friend, and she works with the same passion and playfulness as she dances.
I didn't study law. I studied philosophy. But when I decided to apply for the human rights PhD, I would like to move the philosophy in something more concrete, more real, because not only because I would like to make something to change the world, but also because I think that the thought grow if as a confrontation with reality. But to stay in a law department for me is really difficult, because there is something in the law that for me it's really difficult to accept. Something that I feel unjust is not enough, but deeply not true. It's a like a language to describe the world that cover the world. And of course, the my recent research was inspired by Danilo Dolci's work. And the first important book that he wrote was Banditi a parti nico. The word banditi has a double sense in Italian that in English it has not, because it, there are two words, bandits and bandits. Mm-hmm. But in Italian is one word. So his idea is that there are people that are out of the law, not because they are bad people, because they want to break the law for some profit, but because they cannot follow the law. So they become banned due to, by law. They are banned by law. So the law create a world where only some elected people can stay inside. And for others, it's not a choice to break the law and to become marginalized. This is what Danilo Dolci discovered, visited a poor village in Sicily during the 50s. So the law is classist and racist many times, because it's made, it's taught not by this part of humanity, but a small group that speak to ourselves and not to others. So my idea is I have the responsibility to educate a new generation of lawyers, and I would like to give them the experience, a wider experience of the humanity, and to conceive, to use the law also in relation to this humanity, but in a humble way. So I ask them to interrogate, to question the sellers of this market, asking them what is the law for them. I think that I discovered also with the research is, okay, the migrants or the locals that work in the Campobello or Rosarno or Foggia and so on are exploited. Mm-hmm. And probably they suffer more than others the injustice. But also with my students, also who seems to live in a privileged situation, is exploited. Mm-hmm. Because some part is missing part of the world. Mm-hmm. I felt this work like, desegregation, mm-hmm. not only for the so-called marginals, but also for the
even more.
Because they discovered that the world is bigger, the humanity is bigger, and they can have a lot of beautiful experience, and I'm really tired mm-hmm. of projects where with rich help with poor. Mm-hmm. I think that it's arrived the moment to invert. The poor need to give, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and the rich need to receive. I try to make a kind of analysis of the power geography. Why don't inverse this situation? Who is the helper and who is the helped? And we invert. For example, I taught a topic, legal ethics, deontology. That means how to become a good lawyer, a good judge. Normally, during these classes, you invite a lawyer or a judge to speak with the students. I invited the ex-prisoners because they know and they gave a wonderful class because finally their experience was evaluated, say directly to the student. Remember, when you will be lawyers and judge, we are not papers. And of course, for the students was so important this class, and say the academy has to discover that there is knowledge where normally we don't think, that the law we have to write with the out of law.
Rodrigo Atas Perez lives and works in Norway. He is originally a sculptor, who politically quit making art in the context of galleries in the art market, and is now sculpting social gestures, solidarity networks, and mutual support systems. I met Rodrigo during a European Cultural Lab on Solidarity through Zoom, and we have been experimenting together with slowing down our time as an anti-capitalist practice.
Recently, I moved to the countryside a few months ago for many different reasons, but so I really had the pleasure to meet two farmers here that are really radical. They are, you know, husband and wife. They've been working for so long to actually really, come up with their own ethical standards for food production. They've been really great at doing this. So when we just in one of our sort of like informal talks, I brought up this issue that's most artists are really experiencing here in Norway. I mean, non-EU background artists, in the sense that they are not allowed to work outside the arts and cultural field. So basically, you are tied to just either be an employee or be a self-employed, but you cannot do both. So you don't really have access to a mixed economy. And at the same time, you don't have access in a case, let's say, because of COVID, like Norway totally shielded the social welfare system. So migrants in general, not only artists, most of them didn't have access to social security. And in a country like Norway, that's just unbelievable. But it happened. And we needed to find ways around to facilitate some sort of income for these artists that really were struggling. So we really wanted to, or at least that was a little bit of the idea that crossed my mind, that maybe through, you know, some sort of partnership with these farmers, we could potentially create another way to produce income for the artists. Well, basically, there is, the concept of field work, right? I mean, that's something that both farmers and artists and other people in other fields use as well. So we wanted to play with that terminology to really be able to, give the artists the possibility to go to the farm, work there, because they cannot invoice for agricultural work. They can only invoice for arts and culture related work. We will actually find ways of invoicing the farmers with field work. you know, stating really clearly the description of fieldwork, and that actually leave the door open for so many interpretations.
Yeah.
So that was just a possible, one of the possible strategies to go around the system, provide income for the artists. Also, many of the farmers in Norway, and I will assume in many other places of the world, didn't have, you know, they call it woofers. So these people that are students, or they come from different parts of the world, and they stay with the farmers for a few weeks, and they learn how to work the field. And they do it sort of like almost like an internship, like a non-paid internship, but they get food and accommodation. But because of COVID, they couldn't come. So the farmers were really not having the resources, the human resources to really work the field and be ready for the season. So a way of also kind of like try to make sustainable for the farmers this, you know, during the harvesting season. And to, you know, sometimes we just take food for granted, but really if nobody's harvesting and you don't have the facilities and the resources to do it, basically, yeah, nobody will eat. I mean, it sounds sort of like catastrophic, but that's a reality. At least the way I see this initiative are, I don't know, I see it a mix somehow between, you know, speculative art, a place for, you know, a new emerging social vision, something that we could do really to not only stay with those, you know, fleeting utopian moments, right? But to actually make it a sustainable framework for, to really resist and fight these inequalities. And of course that's a very complex thing, and it's, I don't know, there is no really like, an answer for counter politics for the times we're living. At least I don't seem to find one or a single one, but it's more of like a web of gestures and ways of being that really I think could, yeah, start opening up new bridges for these issues not to just stay in a, you know, as a rhetorical discussion or even as a some sort of narrative initiative, somehow platforms, you know, working with farmers that have a problem, artists that have a different kind of problem, but they could actually together practice some sort of solidarity because they need each other. And just to realize that, it makes you not too indifferent of real life, right? It makes you kind of like grounded the issues of everyday life, basically.
Tala Hassan lives and works in Lebanon. She moved back there 4 years ago after growing up and studying in Europe. She works, among others, with the A Project on gender and reproduction justice, with the anti-racism movement, and with Damme, which focuses on the rights of migrant workers, especially female domestic workers in Lebanon. She's not comfortable with using the word activist as an identity marker, but sees herself doing activist work on social justice, intersectional feminism, in cultural and grassroots contexts. I met Tala in Amsterdam after one of my performances, and I remember we spoke then about the psychology of multiple identities. Tala, what does justice mean in the context you work in?
When we refer to justice, like there's kind of two meanings that I think about, especially in the Lebanese context. So there's the justice system, which is based on the law, which is something that we're told to rely on, and which we criticize a lot as activists and as people of marginalized identities here. And then there's justice in the sense of the true justice that we're seeking, gender justice, reproductive justice, racial justice, all of these kind of elements, class justice. So for me and my work, I mean, the latter is how we use justice. And the justice system as it's institutionalized, for me, the use of the term justice there is very misleading.
Can you please say something about the social justice practices that you are part of in Lebanon?
There has been an increased visibility and outspokenness about social justice issues in the past years, whether about sexual violence or about gendered violence, been more on the radar. Definitely migrant workers and specifically migrant women's plights and their fight for justice has really, really, gotten so strong. And they're still extremely oppressed, but the fight is has been really incredible, in my opinion, and I hope it only gets more. So visibility and the conversation on inter movement solidarities, so that we cannot think about feminism without thinking about racial justice, and we cannot think about racial justice without thinking about economic justice. And this is still not the mainstream, especially if I'm thinking about feminism. This is definitely still not the mainstream, because the mainstream is like critical of the state, but still collaborating with it to achieve forms of justice. So let's say bigger scale, richer NGOs that take it upon themselves to fill the gaps of the state when it comes to responding to certain breaches of justice. Like, I'm gonna go again with gender justice and let's say domestic violence, because a lot of women's rights NGOs, like, this is a primary focus of theirs, of course, because it's so frequent and so important. But there isn't this intersectional recognition, right, that like what makes migrant women or poor women or undocumented women more susceptible to these kinds of violences and less able to access any form of justice. I work with an organization called the A Project, and we work on sexual and reproductive justice and gender justice. And we also think a lot about mental health, which is, when you were asking about the strategies that we use, I think a huge one is decentralizing knowledge. Finding ways to provide not just resources and access to physical needs, but so we have a sexuality hotline, for instance, where people can call with any question they have on sex, intimacy, relationships, pregnancy, abortion, and other things of decentralizing knowledge would also be using more accessible platforms to share information that is kept from us. So in terms of my work, for instance, we think a lot about the healthcare system and how they maintain control over women and families and women's reproductive choices by withholding information about contraception, about abortion, about sex, and making judgments about if you're single, unmarried, queer, trans, poor, non-Lebanese, all of these things, you know, telling you what is right for you and what is not. We need to make sure that people just are aware that these are oppressive forces and not objective truths.
So I hear that the different social issues that you attend to with your work, and especially now within the conditions of the economical crisis, the pandemic, and after the blast in Beirut, they all have like an immediate and direct need to be supplied for, like food, shelter, medical care. What are other needs that you encounter that emerge?
There's definitely the need for care in many, many, many different senses of the word. Physical care, especially with the pandemic, where this was the one thing that was kind of taken away from us at a time where we really needed intimacy. But also emotional care, mental health. And I even mean mental health in a more mainstream way, where, there have been some efforts to address it, but again, it's very decontextualized and depoliticized. So there is a need for proper mental health that acknowledges why so many of us, even those who really so like across so many different populations within Lebanon, like, really need access to mental health. And we're filling in those gaps for each other in a lot of ways, not just because of the depoliticization and how difficult it is to find mental health care that really acknowledges where our needs come from, and that it is, you know, that we are depressed, we are anxious, we are traumatized because of everything that happens, not because of chemicals in our brain that decided to. So there is a need for friendships and for communities and for a sense of unity, I guess, or togetherness.
Is it true, I hear from you, that you are building systems to rely on each other economically and emotionally, like replacing the system, let's say?
Well, it's beautiful to kind of be able to create systems where we rely on each other. Also, I see a tension there, because we should, redistribution of wealth or resources should not really come from within communities or populations, or I don't know what you want to call it, that already have so much less than the richer and than the more privileged people who are ruling the society. So I love that we adopt this strategy with ourselves, because it's something we politically believe in also, like redistribution of wealth. I strive in the world, not just here, but like in general, the way that we live our lives, that we don't need to be relying on some of the things that we consider justice, because it will be taken for granted that we're allowed to survive in certain ways. Let's say going out on the street without being harassed or without being looked at or judged or physically assaulted, being able to wear what you want without being, just put in a certain category or excluded from certain spaces. Like this, I want this to be taken for granted. And at the moment, it feels like if I find a space where I can do that, it feels good. It feels like, okay, I'm happy I have this in my life. I'm privileged that I have this in my life. But it should not be a privilege. It should be a very basic thing that I can go out and look however I want. They're making us fight for what we want on a basic level, that we accept, you know, the small victories, and they can stop us from politically organizing. This is the most important for them. Do what you want, but don't politically organize, because they know that organizing and unity and unionizing is going to lead to the downfall of like the system eventually. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they keep us happy with a bait here and there. They make us, you know, depend on each other and ourselves, and just accept that these things are gonna happen on just your own personal circles level. And they can continue with their status quo, so.
Hania Sawah, whose artistic name is El Darwish, lives and works in Germany at the moment. He's a rap and hip-hop artist that has been shaping and influencing the rap scene in the Arab world for the last 10 years. Several of his lines have been adopted and chanted by demonstrators in Syria and Lebanon. I met Hani in Lebanon as we both gave artistic workshops in a summer camp for Lebanese and Syrian youth. And I never thought rap could be so poetic until I heard the lyrics of El Darwish. It is really special how he embodies the words and sounds between us.
Well, I think that me being coming from where I come and by that, I don't mean only the region, I mean Syria especially. I never saw in my life the relation between justice and law. Things. Law is there to regulate, to prevent or allow you to do some things and not do other things. But it's not there to create equality nor justice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, I think the unions were created because law didn't give the people their rights.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think justice is became today like a huge virtue, like love, like you know, like it became something that is not, that is talking about even in the mainstream media in a way that is, it's really commercialized. It's really, and it's like a far, and I mean justice for everyone all over the globe. It's like something that we dream about now, but we have a lot of laws and regulations all around the globe, and that still is not providing justice.
And you see art as a form that can kind of produce, or has a certain energy or has a certain force to question, to transform, to provide any form of justice, or how do you see
it? For me, if I wanna put my work in the context of justice, I do what I do to give, to be just to myself in the first place, mm-hmm. to acknowledge what or the huge impact of the injustice that we're all been suffering for the past 32 years, which is my life, which is what I really know. So for me, it's the safe place, and it's the sanctuary where I go to heal. And it grew more and more on me when I saw people from different places, whether inside Syria or outside Syria, or not even from Syria, that are actually the moments that me as someone who basically writes their feelings and their ideas in their work. Everything I do I always seek for it to be natural. Like I don't have a choice of words, for example. Like it's what I like to read and what I like to gather as knowledge comes out and translate my emotions. And it's the only place that I allow myself to feel the emotion to its extent. And like if I'm angry, I allow myself to be angry to the fullest, because this is the only place that I allow myself to be angry and feel right about it. Mm-hmm. And if I'm sad, it's the same thing. And if I'm happy, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. So this is why it's a healing process, because it's honest. For me, you can't do good music and not be honest to yourself. Mm-hmm. So facing these problems that are always the motivation to write and to produce is the process of healing, is the process of acknowledging that, yes, these things happened. And instead of me sitting and doubting how I dealt with them or grieving about them, I should turn them into fuel. Mm-hmm. And I should keep pushing forward. And that's the only steady idea that I've had in the past 10 years. Like it's the only idea that never changed. I always know that going back to my home studio to work is the ultimate. Maybe sometimes it can be a solution and sometimes it can be a way of figuring out what the problem is and seeking solutions.
And you chose to share with us one of your latest tracks titled Bishara in the Streets. Would you like to say something to us about this track, Hani?
Before 8 months, I was living in Beirut for 8 years. So it kind of became another home for me. And the Lebanese Revolution was something that was major and that was affecting everyone on every scale. So I made a track called the Sharia, which means in the street. The whole concept of the track is built on we have to have or we already have or in the process of one big revolution that is, and it's the only solution. And so the hook is like, my home is down there in the street, under the parliament in the street, in Tuk Tuk in Baghdad in the street, in Homs in the street.
بدو المدينة غزو الشوارع عالرنج في خيام فلا تسألني عشيرتي وين مضربة هالرقبش طبع مثل بايرون نجمة بتضوي لما يقطعوا الكهرباء ما بشيلة غير اللي ركبة أنا بنتمي للمناح اللي بيحافظوا على ضبط أعصابهم وقت زعرانك بتنزل لتجربة قلوب أنظف من حسابي بالبنك وعقول بتنهض بالبلد لهيك كان بدك تخربها بلعتونا بسوريا بس إخواتي بكل البلاد عم يقوموا لتصير كل البلاد أوطان عم تفهم أعمل قلب تابع أعمى وتابع شبيح والشبيح خروف لو طار عم تفهم فلا تستصعبوا طريق الحق لأنه ما عاد تزبط على طريق الحق صرنا كتار كتار عم تفهم كتار كتار وانا بيتي هنيك تحت هنيك بالشارع تحت مجلس العرصات بالشارع جوا التوك توك ببغداد بالشارع بحمص بالشارع بالقاهرة بمسبيرو بالشارع بيتي تحت بيتي تحت تحت هنيك بالشارع تحت مجلس العرصات بالشارع جوا التوك توك ببغداد بالشارع بالسودان بالشام بحمص بالشارع بالشارع اللي مين أقوى طايفة ولا الجوع طرق طايفة أو طريق مقطوع نشوة السكرة ولا الصوت المسموع ضرب كفوف سنان ثابتة والرئيس مخلوع هي لساحة التحرير وشهد العراق وحسين العطار للي سبتوا بالساحات هي ثورة على الذات على العرصات هي مو ثورة لا ثورات هي للي ماتوا قبل لنقلن تعبن ما مات وهي صفحة جديدة وهي كل ما يقولوا الرأس مانو ثورة رأسة جديدة هي ثورة على البارانويا ثورة على الانكزايتي نفس لناسي اللي نردت للروح شوي وهي رقصة جديدة هي صفحة جديدة هي كل ما يقولوا الرقص مانو ثورة رقصة جديدة هي لو ما بدق على الطناجر أنا طنجرت الحي هنيك تحت بالشارع تحت مجلس العرصات بالشارع جوا التوك توك ببغداد بالشارع حمص بالشارع بالقاهرة بمسبيرو بالشارع بيتي تحت 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 هنيك بالشارع تحت مجلس العرصات بالشارع جوا التوك توك ببغداد بالشارع حمص بالشارع القاهرة بمسبيرو بالشارع